When you look at the situations involving America right now, the state of affairs going on in America, let's start with you, Royce. How would you describe the state of America as we see it right now today?
Chaos, crisis, unmoored from reality, a lack of leadership, a lack of sacred honor, a lack of genuineness, forthrightness, a lack of people who are not willing to be bought and paid for, a lack of epidemic of sellouts. There are a lot of problems. Mm.
Would you point to the Trump administration as being included in the soliloquy you just gave?
I would say that there are elements of the administration that are having some of those issues, for sure. I think overall, the president of the United States is a man who, by all measures, was willing, and you need these kind of guys to stand up and be crazy enough to say, crucify me if need be. None of our leaders are going to be perfect. All of them are going to be extremely flawed, increasingly, and an increasingly decadent culture that we've created in this country. So every leader is going to be flawed. But you do need people that are just crazy enough to stand up and say, crucify me against all of the momentum of social norms and the convenience of the status quo. And I think President Trump has done that for the better part of 10 years now. He celebrated his 80th birthday recently. So he's at the tail end of his career and at the tail end of his life. Younger people are going to have to pick up the mantle and lead this country in the right direction. And I'm proud to be one of the candidates trying to do that.
Isaiah, you just heard what Royce had to say as a liberal, a Democrat in this nation right now. I'll ask you the same question that I just asked Royce about. What do you believe the state of America to be right now? And how much of that do you attribute to this specific administration more so than anything else?
Well, I actually agree with the beginning of what Royce said, is a lack of leadership. The president of the United States has utterly failed at pretty much everything that he set out to do. He said that we would have gas prices as national average for less than $2 a gallon. That never happened. He said he would bring inflation down. That never happened. He said he was going to bring energy bills and cut them in half. Instead, they're up by more than 13%. Healthcare premiums are up. Everything in America costs a lot more than what it was when Trump got started. So yes, it is a lack of leadership. And personally, I don't believe in participation trophies for these politicians. And I believe that a lot of people that are on the conservative side are constantly looking to give Trump participation trophy. He has utterly failed. And I think that personally, we need an agenda in the United States that prioritizes common sense. And I believe that that is using our tax dollars to invest in America, to go and provide things like universal health care, universal child care. That's the type of direction that I think that America needs to be in. And I think that, frankly, if we get the right leadership, America can be much stronger than what it is today.
Before I go back to Royce, Isaiah, let me ask you this question. What do you say to those that would look at the Trump administration and say, at the very least, it's better than what Biden gave you during his 4 years in office? What would your retort be to that?
Fake news. I mean, point blank. You can look at facts, don't really care about, feelings in many ways. And like I said, if you look at inflation is up and unemployment is up. You can see that in private sector investment to build new manufacturing facilities are up. Everything is down. And we see that ultimately the things that Donald Trump set out to go and do, he has not delivered on. So when you look at the economic standpoint of this golden age in America that he thought that we were going to receive, none of that stuff has ended up happening. And if we've been following the news of the last 24 hours of the developments of this Iran deal, this is an America last agenda that ultimately is leaving Americans behind.
Royce, how do you respond to that?
I think the criticism of President Trump in this particular case is coming from the left. And I regard it to be illegitimate on face value from the outset. Any criticism of President Trump and his administration from the left is political theater. The only legitimate criticism of President Trump's administration is from the right, and saying that he hasn't gone far enough in the things that he wanted to do or said he wanted to do to help save this republic, in great part because the public scrutiny and criticism from the middle and from the left would be incredible. Like, for example, securing our elections, which our elections aren't secure. And if you need a reference, you can go back and listen to Amy Klobuchar and Kamala Harris in the 2018 documentary Kill Chain say that the machines can be hacked. They actually held a senatorial committee demonstration where they demonstrated that the machines can be hacked. So that's one thing. But you say another, like, restoring the border or closing the border. We sealed the border up for the most part, but the border is not restored until we deport the 15 million conservatively foreign invaders that Joe Biden and his administration led into this country intentionally. And we can go further on down the line, but the only real criticism that I you know, count as legitimate is from the right that President Trump hasn't gone far enough. And the reason he hasn't gone far enough is because the center right Republican establishment is favorable to liberal and Democrat policies. And they always have been, which is why they protect that status quo. And Amy Klobuchar, actually, wait a second. Amy Klobuchar is the perfect example. You have all these leftists who say free Palestine, but then they're willing to vote for a person like Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota, who's one of the most well-funded AIPAC candidates in the entire country. The contradiction is intergalactic.
What do you say, though, when Isaiah brings up the fact that inflation, the cost of living, affordability issues, those are incredibly pertinent issues that President Trump campaigned on, but he hasn't addressed, because you even have MAGA Republicans, maybe not you specifically. I don't know. I'm going to let you answer that question. But MAGA Republicans that haven't been on this show yet anyway, they've bloviated and they've lamented the fact that he hasn't put America first, that he's been dealing with stuff overseas entirely too much, that he hasn't prioritized what's in the best interest of America, and he's left the American citizens behind. He's gone against what he campaigned on, which sort of touches, at least to some degree, on what Isaiah alluded to. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say there's perfect utility to a lot of those criticisms, especially the America Last agenda and our foreign policy. Our formation of foreign policy is not rightly ordered. St. Augustine said it best, the definition, a perfect definition of virtue is rightly ordered love, rightly ordered love, rightly ordered charity. Our foreign policy is not an example of rightly ordered love or charity. And I would agree with those things. A lot of the America First wing is not happy with the war. I hope that it ends as soon as possible. But again, the spectrum of the criticism is important, because even if we said we're going to reallocate some of these resources and focus to our own home, what is the plan at home? See, because if the plan is anything like we're going to let in another 15 million foreign invaders, that's not in America's interest either. And I am almost certain, because I hear them, I'm in Minneapolis where they had the anti-ICE protest. They said there's no such thing as illegal on stolen land. This is a fundamental pillar of the Democrat platform. So it's not like if we weren't in Israel or in the Middle East dealing with this war, then our priorities would be rightly ordered under Democrat rule either. We saw that under Biden. So I'm not buying it's a scam for them to even, don't even bring up the war. They were all okay with dumping trillions of dollars into Ukraine. None of them had a problem with dumping as much money as they possibly could find in their black bag slush funds into Ukraine. You got biolabs popping up there in Ukraine. They didn't mind funding them. They didn't mind funding Fauci's projects with the biolabs and whatever gain of function research. So these people who criticize President Trump, they're only doing it opportunistically because there's a fracture on the conservative side about what our priorities should be.
Isaiah, I saw your facial expression wanting to respond to some of the things that he said, particularly when he brought up immigration and obviously when he brought up the war. Your response?
You know, Stephen A., I'm really, to be honest with you, fascinated that I just heard a United States Senate candidate say that it was a scam, that people in this country are rightly concerned with inflation. The fact that Trump went and put these inflationary tariffs in place that effectively put broad-based tariffs on everything that comes to this country did raise prices. The fact that Trump went and got rid of ACA subsidies had a direct increase to healthcare premiums, which has led to a 26% increase in healthcare premiums across this country, particularly for those in Minnesota. So Royce can talk about the conspiracy theories all he wants, but people can look at direct actions of the Trump administration to see how it has raised their prices. And when you ignore your own intelligence, you ignore Tulsi Gabbard, you ignore Joe Kent, you ignore Richard Blumenthal, a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat, all three that said that there was no immediate threat to the United States when it came to Iran, and you ignore that, and you go and you launch a war despite your own national intelligence, and you raise people's prices as a result, that's someone that does not have the leadership and, frankly, the IQ necessary to go forward and actually deliver for the people of this country. And the fact that Royce cannot get on this platform and call that out is absolutely a disgrace, in my opinion.
Royce, your response?
Well, I mean, there's so much wrong with that. Where do I start? But to answer the first last and work my way back, I did call it out. I just said that I'm not in favor of the war. And I think the America First movement has the right perspective on our foreign policy. Again, the contradiction is that the Democrats have any difference of opinion fundamentally on foreign policy. And I gave you the Ukraine war as an example, a very recent example, mind you, of the exact same interpretation of foreign policy. So your criticism of President Trump as it pertains to foreign policy is without merit. by your own conventional and traditional Democrat platform politicians. Furthermore, I never said that inflation shouldn't be a concern for the American people. What I'm pointing out is the contradiction for Americans who favor themselves Democrat or critical of the president, who say that they're worried about costs and what our government spends money on or allocates resources to, but they're perfectly okay with giving credit cards and free healthcare or education to illegal immigrants, which has, is a pillar of the political ideology. It's not, you know, it's not third or fifth rail. It's like the primary, it's like the driving sentiment of the Democrat Party platform is we will allow unfettered, unlimited illegal immigrants to come into this country and we will fund it with your tax money. So how can you talk about the use of tax money when you're giving, you know, unlimited money to illegal foreign invaders?
Isaiah, I'll let you chime in and answer that question, but I'll do so by asking this and then let you go wherever you want to go with it, all right? Which political party, in your estimation, is somewhat rhetorical. I know this from both of you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which political party do you believe has done more damage to working class Americans over the last 20 years? And more importantly, what's your strongest evidence to prove your point in answering that question?
The Republican Party. The Republican Party. I mean, you know, if you want to go back to the previous answer for just a second, I just want to make sure that it was clear. Royce did not address the fact that there was broad-based tariffs that Donald Trump went and put that led to an increase in inflation for everybody across this country. He did not address the ACA subsidies that had a direct increase of 26% for healthcare premiums. He did not do that because ultimately those are direct actions from the president that has led to price increases. But when it comes to over the last few years, when it comes to who has had the biggest troubles, I guess, for working class Americans is very clear. You can look at the job numbers. You know, up until recently, I think 50 of the last 51 million private sector jobs were created under Democratic presidents. You can see, for example, the unemployment rates much lower under Democratic presidents. You can see, for example, the S&P 500 performs better under Democratic presidents. You can see the rate of inflation generally performs better under Democratic presidents. So ultimately, you know, if you want to talk about the national debt, the Republicans are the ones that spend like children with their mom's credit cards and Toys R Us whenever they get in charge. They are responsible. Trump himself is responsible for more than 25% of the national debt, which ultimately, you want to talk about a long-term problem, that is what is going to increase interest payments in the federal budget for years to come. And ultimately, it's going to be less money that we can use to invest in things like universal health care, universal child care, those things. It's the Republican Party that consistently votes against working conditions, that have consistently voted against raising the minimum wage. I happen to believe that the minimum wage should be indexed with inflation and should go up with the cost of living. The Republicans do not support that idea. The Republicans were against the tax incentives that were used to create millions of jobs over the previous 4 years when Biden was in office. It led to record lows when it comes to unemployment. It's the Republican Party that consistently uses our tax dollars to give tax cuts to the richest people on earth, while we see that when they get those things, they invest less to create jobs in America, they invest less to create new manufacturing facilities in America, and they invest less in the American worker, and that's a problem for the people of this country.
But wouldn't people have an argument, or wouldn't people have an argument when they say that Biden spent more money than Trump? Wouldn't people have an argument when they point to, you know, letting illegal immigrants into the country and being willing to spend money on them, particularly at the expense of some American citizens? There would be no argument in their favor in regards to that, Isaiah?
Absolutely not whatsoever. Because if you look at, for example, the Trump administration in 2025 and in 2026 is spending more money than what the Biden administration spent prior to that. If you look at for the Committee for Responsible Budgets report, it literally shows $8.4 trillion was added to the national debt under, was approved by Trump to the national debt the first time he was in office. You compare that to Biden, it was about $4.8 trillion. And if you want to be even more fair to Trump, you can then take out COVID-related spending because that was something that affected both Biden and Trump. That number is about $4.3 trillion under Donald Trump compared to about $2.2 trillion under Joe Biden. The math does not add up. The Republicans are the ones that are the responsible.
Just for clarity purposes, before I go back to Royce, you're saying that I know about 25, 26, got that. But in Trump's first administration, you're saying that the Biden administration spent less than Trump's first administration? I'm just asking. I'm asking.
Yeah, they approved less. So the way you got to look at it, right, is who goes and approved debt? I'll give you a perfect example. So when Trump was in office the first time, he went and signed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was there for the entirety of the time that Biden was in office. That was adding to the deficit under Biden, but he was not responsible for approving that legislation. So what you have to do is you have to tag it. And that's why there's a committee called the Committee for Responsible Budget, which is both Republicans, Independents, and Democrats come together and look at legislation by legislation, executive order by executive order, budget by budget, to determine how much national debt is being added by each specific president. And when you do that, it's very clear the Republicans added double on both occasions.
Royce?
I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and these talking points are, you know, they're dishonest, but they're uninteresting to me. There are no more party lines. I mean, of course, I'm on the right side of the aisle per se, but the real scam is to pit black and white people in this country against each other so they can make off with the green. And that's the uniparty. And the point that I'll make about our economy, and I want to say this, I was thinking about it earlier, even the term affordability has become a MacGuffin. You know what a MacGuffin is, Stephen?
I do not.
A MacGuffin is a literary device used to drive the story forward, but it's not really a part of the plot. Like Maltese Falcon. The movie's not really about a falcon. Okay. Affordability is this, you know, term that's thrown back and forth as a political football and strategically weaponized in certain terms or certain parts of certain terms to get everybody all hyped up about the economy, when the truth is the underlying pillar of the economy is death and debt. And the modern monetary theory that informs our monetary policy and the radical inflation or printing of money goes back to an institution that transcends the two political parties. And that is what the uniparty in this country has tried to preserve: the devaluation of the dollar, the inflation of money, the crushing of the working class. And there's only one political party that's even thrown the red flag on the whole deal. And in fact, if I go further, it's the Republicans from within the Republican Party that have done just like Isaiah has said, that have fought candidates like me who are genuine debt hawks. So there is that part of the Republican Party, or at least I represent that part of the Republican Party, that says the working class has been getting crushed since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And the devaluing of our dollar and our citizenship go hand in hand. And that philosophy is a post-World War II, post-industrial liberal philosophy. Liberal philosophy, the modern monetary theory that informs that we can print as much money as we want, regardless of our domestic production or anything else, is a liberal idea that Republicans, who are soft on debt and economics, fall victim to out of political viability. You have to be electable. In order to be electable, and Isaiah mentioned, the growth of unemployment or unemployment is, yeah, you're giving a lot of jobs to people in the government. Republicans' fundamental philosophy is self-governance. The greatest expansion, you put your hands up, but the greatest expansion of the new jobs came from the government. We don't believe in the expansion. It's crazy to me that Democrats like AOC and Ilhan Omar, say the whole system is guilty and white supremacists, but their fundamental philosophy is to keep giving more power to the federal government as it expands in the name of new jobs. It's so contradictory, it's laughable. Only a person with a sub 100 IQ would even go for that kind of thing. But we've taught a lot of people in this country to be radical materialists. And that's what I'll say finally, Stephen A. When I say affordability is a MacGuffin, we have a death and debt culture in America and around the world. And our mentality about the economy, our mentality about what is affordable and what isn't, is greatly geared towards radical materialism. And so our perception of what we need to live, what we need to be prosperous, what we need to have a great quality of life, has been skewed intentionally by the internet. You don't need $1 million to live great. You don't need to be able to go to Mykonos in Greece and take pictures on Instagram for people you don't even really like or know.
Right.
You need to be able to take care of a family. And the Democrats have made it almost impossible to do that because they don't believe in the private ownership of business. They believe in the complete consolidation of government-run business, or the merger of government and corporation, which is by definition fascist.
Isaiah, go ahead. Because I know I was going to chime in, but I know you look like you got a lot to say. Go ahead, my man.
Royce, I mean, look, facts don't care about your feelings, bro. I mean, and I say that with all due respect.
Which
the reality is that you can just go and look at the facts itself. Inflation
Which
is
ones
up
are facts?
Under Donald Trump. You can look at unemployment is up under Donald Trump. And that's why exactly why I talked about private sector spending to build new manufacturing facilities, which is a number to go and look to see who is building to hire more American workers. And that number has decreased under Donald Trump. For example, if you look at when Trump was president the first time, right? This man literally had a reduction in the amount of spending to build these new manufacturing facilities in America, despite the fact that he said that was the whole purpose of his Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. You put Joe Biden in there, then he goes forward and passes the infrastructure bill, the CHIPS Act. He did so many other things that created these target incentives for private investment, which led to a 3x increase in those new manufacturing facilities that people have bought. I mean, so you don't really know what you're talking about here, Royce, respectfully. And I just think that, you know, when you talk in these, you know, talking points that are not rooted in facts, it leads to really dangerous outcomes.